Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I'm very excited about it. So we're certainly looking forward to that. I trust that you all have had a great week and great time since our last show. And you're certainly looking forward to this evening's show topic. So we're going to get right to that momentarily, but we're going to have to do a little housekeeping first off. I want to remind many of you all out there that I do have a book out. It's called After the Passion, Now What? You can visit my website at online at drjessewalker.com, or you can simply go to drjessewalkerinc.com or drjessewalker.com. You will find information about my book. So join me on that, and I look forward to hearing from you and all. So we have that, and we're going to get ready for you all tonight. Again, the book is called After the Passion, Now What? It's it has 10 chapters for 10 stories. Very good read. I think you will really, truly enjoy that book. If you have any problems getting a copy of that book, you can certainly send me an email at online at drjessewalker.com, or you can send a message on my website at drjessewalker.com, or, of course, as I said, online at drjessewalker.com. All right, enough about that. We're going to bring you a very exciting program tonight, and we've got some great shows lined up for the near future. So we're going to have a gentleman on next week that's really, really going to bring a message to us that I think a lot of people need to hear about. And he's going to, I don't want to give much of that show away tonight, but he's going to be talking about denial. And he has expertise on both sides of this. And we'll get into the specifics of denial on next week. But you certainly do want to keep abreast of the show for next week as well as the show for tonight. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and bring in, at this time, my co-host. I'm sorry, instead of bringing the co-host in right now, we're going to go ahead and bring in Ms. Diana Booker. Ms. Booker, as you know, I've given her opportunities to be at the top of every hour, the top of any of my shows, whether it's the Friday night show or the Tuesday night show. She's battling breast cancer, and we have a concert that's coming up that I'm scheduled to be the MC of. That's April the 5th. But we're going to bring Ms. Booker in at this time, and she's going to give you some information on what's going on and an update on the funding. Ms. Booker, thank you so very much for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for allowing me this venue. You've been so gracious and kind in so many ways. Thank you.
I would like to
tell everyone about the benefit concert, gospel benefit concert and health lecture that will be taking place at the Patmos Seventh-day Adventist Church. And this will be an effort to raise funds. We will not be selling tickets. It will all be done by a love offering. But we're going to have some dynamic talent there. As you know, Dr. Walker will be Master of Ceremony, and then we're going to be having Emmy nominee Pastor Wentley will be there, along with Neville Peter. And then we're going to have two doctors, Dr. Pearson, a naturopath doctor, and Dr. Rogers, an MD that practices alternative healing and has a clinic in Tijuana, Mexico, that practices immune therapy and alternative healing for cancer with some very great success stories. So they will be bringing forth that information during that time period and giving us an awareness and a knowledge that many of us don't have of what therapies exist south of the border that are very helpful. So I'm really excited about that. And as I said, that's going to be at Patmos Church on August the 5th, Saturday from 5 to 7. And as usual, my website is www.gofundme.com/helpdianafightbreastcancer. And if anyone would love to donate anything towards that, my endeavor to get to Mexico for treatment, that would be, I would be very grateful, and I would pray God bless you.
Awesome. Now, also, we're going to ask, is there a telephone number that if some people want to make a, rather than go through GoFundMe, because I understand there is a small percentage that agency gets, is there a telephone number in case somebody wants to say, well, you know what, I want to bypass that, I want to contribute directly to you? Is there a phone number that they can reach you on, Ms. Booker?
Sure, it is. My cell phone is 863-236-0503. Again, it's 863-236-0503. I also have a PayPal account, and it's my email address for the ID, and it's D. Booker, that's my last name, B-O-O-K-E-R, 1888 at AOL.com for my PayPal address.
Okay, well, awesome, awesome. Let's see, just to reiterate once again, the date, the time, and if you have an address for where the concert is going to be, that would also be helpful. Do you have any of that?
The date and time, the address, I know I have it written down, but I don't have it at my fingertips right now. So the date is August the 5th, it's Saturday. At 5 to 7 p.m. And Patmos Church, it's, I know it's on Swoop Avenue in Winter Park, Florida. But the exact address right now I don't have, but I'm sure if you were to Google Patmos Chapel, SDA Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church in Winter Park, it would certainly come up on Swoop Avenue.
Okay. Well, that's great. We're so glad that how are you feeling these days? I just want to, you know, get an idea of how are you feeling. You know, are your days consistent?
I have my days that my energy level is really high, and then there's other days, depending on if I have a lot of things distracting me from my program, then I get to be a little bit on the lower side. And the key to my staying up and energetic is actually the Gerson therapy by Max Gerson, which is what I do at home. And if I get those amount of juices in, which calls for 10 to 12, 8 ounces of fresh squeezed juice every hour, and if I can stay with that regimen, I do very well.
Wow. Give me that regimen again, if you would. Because there may be somebody else out there that's listening that may benefit from this as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would encourage anyone, not just for cancer, but for any incurables. He has the best nutritional protocol out there, by far none. And he has a book called The Gerson Therapy, G-E-R-S-O-N, by Max, M-A-X Gerson. He was a German physician who, in the 1800s, he died in 1959, had developed, and what I love about his protocol is that it was clinically tested. He had the university, the very university backing him at the time when he was developing this protocol. They funded it. So he was able to clinically diagnose and by the bedside see the effects of everything that he has asked you to do. So it's been tried, true, and testifically, and that's what's really great because there are so many things out there that people will comment you and say, try this and try that and try this. But what I love about his is that he has the scientific proof as to what he's asking you to do, the amount he's asking you, and the type of food he's asking you to utilize for your healing. So the crux of the therapy is the juicing, the voluminous amount of juices you have to take in every day, which boosts your immune system, sustains you, and helps your body to build good cells probably faster than the cancer cells are trying to overtake you. So it's anywhere from 10 to 13 glasses of juice, 8 ounces only, but every hour, and it has to be fresh squeezed. And it's carrot or carrot and apple and specific greens. He doesn't have you juice just any green. It's romaine, the Swiss chard, watercress, escarole, endive. You don't juice spinach and you don't juice kale because of the oxalic acids are too high in those greens. So, and that way I think it makes it easier because you're just not doing an array of different vegetables, but there's specific ones he has you to juice in. And then on top of the juicing, he has you eat 3 meals a day. They have to be cooked a certain way in their own juices on very, very low heat so that you're not bursting the cell and destroying the enzymes and minerals, which is very important for your healing. And you're on strict salt intake, strict protein intake, strict fat intake. So those things are prohibited in the diet. I mean, things like vegetarians love avocado. You cannot have avocado on this diet because it's too high in fat. And those things feed the cancer. So he was able to scientifically see and prove these things back then. And therefore, if you eat the way he asks you to eat, you actually can overcome cancer just using his protocol. So I'm sure people might ask, well, then why haven't you been successful with that since that's what you're doing? Great question. And that is because I'm by myself doing it. So when I have to go out to the store to buy my greens or to buy my carrots and I have to go to Whole Foods 20 miles away, that takes me away from home, takes me away from juicing. Then I have to bring the produce back in the house and I have to prep it and clean it and put it away. So there's things that causes me not to be able to stay on top of it. I do get in 10 juices every day for more than I don't, but then there's a certain soup that you have to have. It's called Hippocrates soup or green soup, and I'm just not able to make it because it's too labor intensive. And with the juicing and the food prep, that's all I can do. Plus, you are to take in coffee enemas every day. He says anywhere from 3 to 5. He was able to get his cancer patients off of morphine with the coffee enema, and I think that's something that's really important because most people with cancer tend to have a lot of pain and pain issues. And I've seen people say even the medication does not help them. But when you take a coffee enema now, coffee through the mouth is not good for you. But coffee through the anus is absolutely excellent for the body. It detoxes the liver and sustains it. Anytime you're dealing with any kind of illnesses, your liver is compromised. And then it also ups like 700% glutathione transferase, which is an enzyme that fights free radicals. Very, very beneficial to you. It also lowers the parasite content. They don't like that environment, and so you're expelling them as well, which is good. And it makes you feel really, really good. So those are things that I utilize to keep me sustained at this point. But going to Mexico is going to be like, you know, the boost that just kind of pushes me over the hump and really activates my immune system to eradicate the cancer. So I'm sure I said a mouthful.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that, Ms. Booker. And that was a wealth of information, and I'm sure there are listeners out there that will certainly benefit from that, and we appreciate that. All right, we're going to get right into tonight's story. If you're just joining us, Ms. Booker, who comes on at the top of the hour, has given us information on her breast cancer update and information on how to contact her as well if you want to send in some donations. And we thank all of you all for all that you're doing. And she also mentioned the upcoming benefit concert to bring about additional funding for her. Now, as always, if any of you all would elect to, you know, contribute and you didn't get any of the information, then you can certainly call here and we'll give you more information on that. All right, let's get ready for tonight's story. It is rather long, so I'm going to ask you all the opinion. We thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. And for the record, of course, this show does not have all the answers. But together with your help, I can assure you, we will find some answers, that is, that may prove beneficial to your relationship. And, of course, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed here and throughout tonight's program are merely those of my own and those of my guests and co-hosts and other participants. Now, tonight's dialogue should not be perceived as a replacement or substitute for the appropriate, licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. As always, the information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, tonight's story will have the characters Thomas and Uriah. Thomas and Uriah. Now, after 14 years of marriage, Thomas and Uriah's marriage came to a very bitter halt. Who would have ever thought such a loving couple would shock family and friends with what appeared to be a tragic and nasty divorce that lasted over 2 years before the final decree? Uriah, with their three children, ages 5, 9, and 12, at age 37, was finding life to be rather difficult after the bitter divorce. This was a man whom she admired, respected, and looked up to in all areas of life, her husband, that is. Now, for the past 2 years, continues to be a nightmare that she unforeseeably has not been able to shake and resonates seemingly within the core of her being, causing her to somehow exercise feelings of hatred towards him for leaving her for someone else. Thomas has since moved on with his life with a new spouse, but insists he misses Uriah. The terms of their agreement allows him to see the children every 2 weeks. He also pays child support and alimony. Uriah never thought that this could happen to her and somehow continues to remain bitter in spite of dating at her convenience. Now, that is until recently when she made a few changes to create life after divorce, of which included. Now, this is the part you really want to get. This is what she decided to do to make some changes to create life after divorce. Number one, she made a decision to stop dating for at least 1 year and focus clearly on her three children and her job. She found that dating was confusing her by going from man to man. Number two, she made a decision to establish a closer relationship with God by study of his word and learn the purpose for her life. Number three, she wanted to become a better parent and a more organized person. Number four, she decided to make an attempt at establishing a civil relationship with her children's father and avoid any advances from him. And number five, she wanted to reconnect with family and friends at her own leisure. Number six, she wanted to make it where she would find some time for private and personal meditation away from the children and others. In other words, she wanted to find her me time and self. And finally, number seven, after the full year, this is what she wanted to take off, a full year. After the full year, she decided that she will make a decision to write out a criteria of expectations from a new relationship that she would get involved in. Now, it has now been 3 years since her divorce, and Uriah has concluded there is life after divorce. At least for her, it is, especially since the love of her life has now found her. Questions are, we have several questions, and we're going to start out tonight with, what, if anything, could a person, male or female, learn from Uriah's list of changes? And so, please don't go away. There is more to come right now, right here live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Now, with our topic for the evening, is there life after divorce? and this is only part one. Is there life after divorce? Let's go to the phone lines and find out if there is life after divorce. And let's start out first by asking Ms. Booker. Ms. Booker, you know, I don't know if this relates to you or not. I don't know if you've been married before, now divorced, or what your situation is. But if it's applicable, is there life after divorce? And first of all, tell us if you've been married and divorced before.
Yes, I have been married and divorced before, and there absolutely is life after divorce. And I really love the fact that she took out time to get herself together, to redefine and find out who she was, and then also took time to make a list of very good and clear goals and expectations for what she was looking for herself and for someone else. So she sounds like someone who has her head on straight.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to ask you to stand by if you can, and we're going to go to some more of the phone lines momentarily, and we encourage you all to send your comments in, and we will try to get to as many of them as we possibly can. And, of course, any of you all that are listening to tonight's broadcast, if you want to speak to the issue of the story or that topic, is your life after divorce, you can certainly press 1 on your dial, and we will be happy to entertain you. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 954-826. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You are on the air live.
Hey, Dr. Walker. This is James. How you doing?
James, we're doing very good. Thank you for joining us this evening. James, if you've been married and divorced, let me start by asking that question. And if so, is your life after divorce?
I have, unfortunately, twice. There is life after, like, divorce. And the young lady in, like, the story found life after divorce because she did all the counselors told me that everyone needs to take off, like, a year after you get, like, divorced to allow yourself the emotional roller coaster that you're going to go through, the depression and the anger and trying to get that person back and then putting God in the mix of it. And also, like, that she took time for herself, because one mistake I made in my first divorce is I tried to make my daughter my life, and I didn't want to go out. I just wanted to spend all my extra time with her. And, you know, someone said, look, you know, you can't make her your life. You have to get a life outside of her. And so that's good that she did that. But she did the work, and there is life after, like divorce. It's a long road. It's not easy. You're going to go through a lot. But, you know, you have to stay the course.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We appreciate your comments. And let me go. We're going to go to the phone lines again momentarily. But first, let me just take a look at another question. And I love what is being presented here this evening with our callers, because life, is there life after divorce? I've heard so many, I mean, there's been just countless stories out there from people who have given their thoughts on divorce and life after divorce. And in this case, we're talking about Thomas and Uriah having gone through a very bitter and nasty divorce. Let me ask Diane this question. Why do you think some divorces have to be bitter or nasty?
Well, they said the other side of the coin of love is hate. And unfortunately, that is what comes out when, you know, people have been hurt.
Okay. And James, the question that I want to ask of you, I mean, people who, and you say you've been there twice and divorced twice, people who were madly in love and couldn't stay away from each other, what would cause someone to reach that other spectrum in some cases, like was just presented, that some people, that other side is hate? I mean, even with our story tonight, Uriah, actually, the thought of him, the thought of Thomas caused her to have some just nightmares. And she literally had hatred for him. What would call somebody who was once, I can't wait to see you, I can't wait to be with you, I can't wait to hold you, what would now cause that extremity to get to a point where a person just can't stand them?
Because when you get divorced and you go through divorce, all of your pent-up anger, animosity, your like resentment for that person, for breaking up the family, for breaking your heart, for mm-hmm. all of that comes out, and it's centered toward that one individual, and they focus on you, they target on you, and they're like a laser, and they don't let up until they get help, and it's just, it is never ending, trust me.
It's just never ending, never ending. So Uriah, after 3 years, she found a way because she created a list. And apparently she followed that list to a T. And 3 years later, the love of her life, and as you notice, the story said, the love of her life found her. And I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that is an awesome thing. Dana, give me your thoughts on that.
You know, I think that's just such a wonderful statement when you think about what happened, because it's really true. Once you work on yourself and you get healed, you're going to attract a healthy individual to you. But that person that's still pent up with bitterness and trying to get revenge, you know, it just changes their personality, probably even their looks, and they just become this hardened individual. And I don't believe blessings come to people like that. So to me, that's like the moral of the story is, you know, get your healing, get well, and go on with life, and then things will work out. It's just life is too short to, and many people get caught up in it, like he says, you know, constantly living to just attack that individual and tear the person down that they felt might have wronged them and sometimes maybe didn't wrong them, but they're just angry individuals. And the people who recognize that that's the issue and get help are the ones that are going to be beneficial into them, to themselves, and everyone else around them.
All right. I think that's a very good intake. We're going to go to phone lines once again. We're going to go to 954. Looks like 226. All right. Looks like, yeah, 954-226. Who do we have on the air this evening? And welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, can you make some sense out of, answer the question, is there life, in your opinion, I don't know if you've been married, divorced, what your situation is, but if so, is there life after divorce?
Oh, of course there is. Yes, I've been married before and married again for a second time, and I totally agree that there is life after divorce, just not immediately after. And what I like about the story is that she took some time to find herself. You know, divorce at times, or for some people, seem like a death. It's like they lost a someone, just like if the person died, if someone died. And so they have to go through the emotions. And as James says, the hatred and everything built up because of the broken home. Maybe you have children, and now especially, well, either party, you know, have to be separated somehow from the children, and so there's just a lot of anger, and like the song said, there's a thin line between love and hate, and so it may, and a lot of times in a divorce, I believe that's what comes out, that, you know, you cross over that thin line, and as James said, all the built up anger, hatred, and everything just happens to come out and lashes out at that one person. After the divorce, you know, you feel like, you know, you have the failure, that you feel like you failed in the marriage. And especially in this case, it was 14 years. That's a long time, you know. So I do understand what she was going through. And then sometimes some people, you know, it's easy to go looking for love, and always in the wrong places, because you want to fill that void that now you have lost your spouse and you want someone to fill that void. And so you go around trying to find someone and trying to find love and trying to give yourself to everyone that comes around, you know, which, of course, is a big mistake. But at the time, sometimes you don't realize that until, you know, later on. But apparently she realized it after, and what she did, she just took a step back, you know, and kind of review her life and where it was heading. And she decided, which was really good, that she is going to take some time off just for her to review her life, to write her script, as you would say, Dr. Walker, write her a script again for her life. And that was really good. And I think, you know, people who are listening, you know, to this program and might be going through a divorce or going through something similar, a breakup, a separation, don't just run into a new love or what you think might be a new love. Give yourself some time, because you're either going to go through the hurt up front or you're going to go through the hurt later on in life, you know. And if you wait until later on, you're going to mess up somebody else's life. So it's better to go through the pain, go through the emotions, go through the hurt, and rewrite your script. Decide, make conscious decisions. Of course, go through counseling, get healing, because it's going to hurt. There's no way around it. And don't try to cover that up or sweep it under the carpet, because it's going to come out after a while, okay? Dr. Walker, I think I'm talking too much, but you know, just let me, I just want to make a little point here that what she did, taking a year off and figuring her life out, getting back close to God, spending time with her children, spending time with herself to try to find herself, that was just awesome. That was just awesome. And then now, after all of that, she was ready again to start life over, to give herself to someone who actually came looking for her, which is good. The Bible says a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. So therefore, it's not the wife who needs to actually go out there looking for the husband. You know, someone found her. And I just love that story ending. And now she realized now that there is life after divorce. There is happiness again. You know, so if you're going through something out there, going through a rough time, a rough divorce, and you feel like this is the end, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Just remember this story that there is. You know, take some time off for yourself, get yourself healed, and then, hey, you're as good as new.
Well, thank you, Rose. That was, in fact, a mouthful, but that was certainly some good advice. I want to ask you two questions now. You know, you mentioned the script, and I certainly agree that the script is ideal. And now what if, you know, a situation like Uriah, she runs across one of these guys, and, I mean, he's just dropped dead. You know, I mean, but it's been so soon. Should she just keep his number in her phone somewhere and maybe years later? And then the same advice, I mean, same question, if a woman comes along for a man and this woman just takes his breath away. I mean, if it's still too soon, should you just let that go?
That's a hard question. At a time when you're going through what you're going through and you feel that void, you're going to feel as if, oh, no, I can't let this pass me by, you know. I'm not going to get something like this again. But, you know, the best thing to do is to get healing first. So you should not ever get involved. So should I take his number if it were me or if a person I'm giving some advice to? This might be the wrong thing. You know what? There's a saying, an old adage, just say, if there's something for you, it cannot be on for you. If it's for you, it's going to be for you. So the thing is, if you were to take that number, it's going to be in the back of your mind. And you're not going to allow God really to work in you or through you or heal you the right way, because in the back of your mind, you're going to see that person and you're going to kind of rush through your healing in order to get to that person. And that might not be true healing, okay? So I think it's best to just not go there. Let that person go. If you trust God, he's going to direct you, and he's going to direct the right person to you. And if it's this person will come back at the right time.
Wow, that is awesome. James, let me go to you just before we go to the phone lines again. Do you think Rose is on point? I mean, this woman takes your breath away. You meet one of them and it's like, man, I don't know if this will come back in my life again or, you know, what do you think?
Well, I don't think you should because, you know, it's, let me use the analogy of kids in Cracker Jack boxes. They knew the prize, it was in the box at the bottom, but did they eat the Cracker Jacks and then get to the prize, or did they dump out the Cracker Jacks and grab the prize? You know, that's what she's going to do.
Right.
That's what she's going to do. She is going to look for that man for validation, for support, to tell her that she's beautiful, to tell her that she's all the things that her ex-husband, by divorcing her, told her that she was not. And she's not going to get the proper healing. The healing should come from just like what she did, total isolation, take care of the kids, take care of yourself, God, you know, take time off. But if you got that in the back of your head, you're not going to concentrate on your healing. And, you know, it should be spoken of the dark side of when people don't get the proper take the proper time, because we hear about it on the news, like in Palm Beach County 3 months ago, where the lady killed her and her two teenage kids because her husband told her that he wanted like a divorce. And, you know, that is the dark side, is people feel hopeless. The pain to them is real. It's unbearable. And they would rather take themselves out and their kids rather than to face that pain. And, you know, people need to know that that's not the way to go, that there is life. You just got to take the time. Nobody says it's going to be easy. You got to get counseling. Sometimes people don't want to get counseling because they don't want to get their friends know they're and, you know, that they're doing that. But it's okay, you know. But I'm glad that she did the work. But to have that into the back of your mind, you know, you aren't going to concentrate on what you need to concentrate on.
Okay, I agree with you. I agree with both of you all. I think that was splendid advice that was presented. Let's go to the phone lines once again, and Diana, we're going to try to come back to you in a moment. But let me go to 786-216. Who do we have on the air this evening, and welcome? 786-216.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay, the question was asked, is there life after a divorce?
Yes. Who do we have on the air with us first? Let me find out your name.
This is Patricia.
Okay, Patricia, thank you for joining us this evening. The question is there life after divorce?
I would say there is life after divorce, but it all depends on the person, because if a person really wants a relationship with someone and they're not going into that relationship with all the extra baggage that they previously had, then they could have a really good one. But if they're going to go into it and they're going to carry everything that happened before in their marriage, it's not going to work. So they're going to have to allow themselves to be healed and let go of all those excess baggages in order to have that productive relationship with that person, whomever it may be.
Okay. All right. Well, Patricia, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Ms. Booker here. How easy is that? Patricia is saying that you got to let go of all of that past baggage. I mean, isn't that easier said than done?
Oh, absolutely it is. Yes, I agree with what she said wholeheartedly. But I also have experienced people who have not and have been divorced for quite some years, and we've heard the term transference. You get in a relationship with them and you do something that seems, you know, relatively innocent, and all of a sudden something comes from them and it's like you're looking at someone that's transforming about something that was, you thought was like, well, what's wrong? But what has happened, it triggers something that happened in their past. And they transferred all of those emotions into the present and into what they were dealing with you and blow it out of proportion. So, yes, it is easier said than done. People have not done the hard work to actually get over. And even when they say they do, you will be able to tell very quickly early on in the relationship when you're dealing with someone who hasn't.
Okay, well, thank you. And Dr. Yes, go ahead.
For me, a big sign of someone that has not worked through that is when you meet someone that's been divorced and they say, I'm never getting married again. That scar is still there. And I would never get into a relationship with someone that says, well, I'm never going to get married again, because they haven't done the work. That hurt, that pain is still there. And if you get involved with someone that tells you that, you know, at some point they're going to have a flashback, like this young lady said.
Okay. All right. And I tend to agree with – I tend to look at it also. We're going to go to phone lines again. We're going to take some of the comments. We are running out of time tonight. The producers already told me that we're going to go with part two of this because that's why they called it a part one. But I tend to look at it and say, you know what, this is a very sensitive issue. It's your life after divorce. And I like something that Rose said, the analogy where a lot of people oftentimes look at that as a death. You know, something, a final thing that has happened. You know, and some people have looked at it and say it's easier than death because they know death, as we know on Earth, is final. But then when they know that someone that they still love goes on, it's hard knowing that that person could be out there with somebody else. So these are the things with what all of you all are saying tonight that makes it real. You know, even Patricia is saying that, it depends on the individual. And you're right. It does depend on the individual, you know, the strength of that individual, you know, and even having a support system. Let me go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 305-684. Thank you for joining the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live.
Dr. Walker, I disagree with the fact that women who or men who tend to say, I'm not going to get married again, that, you know, that's a sign. I disagree
with
that.
What's your name? Give us your name, sir. Give us your name.
I don't want to say my name. Too many women out there looking for me.
All right. We'll call you Mr. No Name. Okay, Mr. No Name. All right, go ahead. You tend to disagree
with
our caller that mentioned that. Yeah, with James that mentioned. And why is that? Tell us why.
They hold on to that for a while until they meet the right person. Once they start getting to know the person and know that the person is sincere on their feelings and the way that they feel towards them, they tend to change their mind. And eventually, once it's changed and you begin to get into a good relationship with that person, what's the first thing they say to you? Wow, I didn't think I can get over that, but I'm over it now.
Okay, all right. Let me ask you, Mr. No Name, if you don't mind. Have you ever been married and divorced?
That's why I didn't want to say my name. I've been married too many times already and divorced too many times.
Okay. So you have that experience that you're sharing with us tonight. All right, Mr. No Name, we definitely want to come back to you. We're going to ask you to stand by, if you would, please. We definitely want to come back and hear from you. All right, let me go to the phone lines again, 786-269. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 786-269. Who do we have with us? All right. Perhaps that's somebody that, like Mr. No Name, they just want to listen in. Let me go back to let's go and take a look at some of the comments that have come in, and they have really floodgated the studio tonight. This female writes in, she says, and Rose, we're going to send this one out to you. This female writes in, she says, in reference to tonight's program, is there life after divorce? A few years ago, the short answer to that question for me was no. There is no life after divorce, so I thought several years ago when it first happened to me. For years, I kept blaming myself for my failed marriage. One day, I made the decision to shift some of the blame on him, and that's when I began to realize that he was more of the blame than I was. As I began to feel better, my thought process changed, and over time, I started the healing process. Rose, let me just go now. You know, she started the healing process because she shifted some of the blame that she was feeling that she was a failure in the marriage. Now she shifted it to him. Do you think she really shifted it to him and caused herself to feel better when, in fact, it still could have been partially her?
I believe maybe she just stopped feeling so guilty, you know, and she probably started forgiving herself for her part that she played in messing up the marriage. Now, remember, it's never always one person's fault, in my opinion. No matter what happened, for that divorce to go, for that marriage to come to an end, it's both parties, you know, to be blamed. Okay, one party might contribute more than the other. I think maybe, number one, maybe she could have started looking back and realizing that, you know what, no, this wasn't all my fault, and rightly so. She needed to do that, put things in perspective, because maybe she was just blaming herself and feeling all this guilt, and this was just weighing her down. So when she stepped back and started to analyze the situation, the marriage, what took place in the marriage, she might have realized that, hey, she was giving so much and he would just was taking, you know. Whatever it was that went wrong, I think she did good in spreading that fault, because it could never be all her fault. And, of course, once she does that, she's going to feel a little bit of relief, because now she might not feel all the guilt that she was feeling previously. And that could make a big difference to her.
James, let me ask you, why is it in some cases people feel better when they blame somebody else? I mean, even could Adam have even felt better when he blamed Eve, and Eve felt better when she blamed the serpent? What do you think? I mean, the blame game.
I've always said of myself, and I even told the two people that I was married to, you know, I take blame for my part, but there's no way that I caused this to go bad all by myself. And I did the work on the things I needed to do work on as far as my shortcomings. But when you go to a counselor, they will always tell you, listen, this is not all your fault. And some women do, some, you know, I mean, it all depends. Some people do blame themselves. You know, I did blame myself, because my father told me that the secret of success was you go to school, you get the best education, you get the best job, you find your wife, and you stay married, and that is success. Now, I failed that twice. I felt like a failure, but I had to constantly tell myself that it wasn't just me. There were two other people involved, like in this. And, you know, life after, like, divorce, to me, it also depends on party you are. Are you the party that got hurt, like, the worst? Or are you the party that got hurt, like, the least? As in, like, this story, this guy, evidently, he wasn't hurt at all. He moved on, got married, and blah, blah, blah. So,
right.
You know, evidently, he took no blame. He, you know, and so, you know, you do what you have to do to get past it. And if you have to say, you know what, this is my part, I own it, I accept it, that's his part, and then you go for it.
Okay, all right, we're going to actually stand by. Let's take another comment. Patricia, we're going to direct this one at you. So please stand by. This female writes in, and we've got a number of them that have come in tonight. We probably will not be able to get to all of them, but we're going to do our best to get to as many as we can. This female writes in, is your life after divorce? For me, it was yes. There is life after divorce. I was married to the wrong man for 8 years, and the sad part about it is I knew it from the very beginning. I ignored all the warning signs, she says, by thinking that he would change his jealous and controlling ways, which he never did, and it only got worse. One day I made up my mind and said, I deserve better. That's been over 5 years now, and I know I made the right decision. I am happily dating again and loving my lifestyle with a man who can appreciate me without being insecure. And I want to go to Patricia here, and I want to ask her this question. You know, could it really have been that the man was insecure, or was his love for her too overwhelming?
I think he could have been insecure in certain instances, but at the same time, because he's saying that he loved her basically unconditionally, but I think after having a bad relationship prior to that, he probably opened up himself too much, and he's not allowing himself to really focus to be healed in a sense. I think he probably needed to kind of wait a little or take it a little easier, slower, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like, Patricia, it sounds like she ended up doing the right thing because it was, I mean, for him to be controlling and insecure, in her opinion. I mean, at some point, you have to do the right thing. You have to do what's best for you. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree. But at the same time, I would want to be more careful still.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Ms. Booker and ask her the question. You think this lady did the right thing? I mean, she's saying she's happier now. She's dating, and it's been 5 years, and she's with a man now that can appreciate her. And obviously, this guy doesn't feel insecure like the one she was with, that she felt he had an insecurity issue.
Well, I guess the proof's in the pudding. You know, if she's happy about the changes she's made and the results she's gotten, then who can question that?
Okay, and I think that that's a good point, a valid point. We've got about 6 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Let me go and ask this same question to Mr. No Name. Mr. No Name, what do you think? I mean, here's a lady that she said her man was insecure, and I'm wondering if she couldn't handle his love. What do you think?
Probably couldn't handle his love. Most women can't handle the love from a man.
They can't handle the love.
No, they can't handle it when it's sincere.
Okay,
they want a man.
Would you say then, Mr. No Name, that the number of times that you've been married and divorced, that it was basically all those women's fault that they couldn't handle your love, you know, no matter what the situation was?
Listen, I've never been wrong. They've always been wrong. It's always been their fault. And it's always going to be their fault. You leave it to me. I've done everything right.
Okay. I guess that's why. Are you married now, Mr. No Name?
I'm in the process of getting married again for the fourth time.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Rose, we're going to ask you to respond. Now, here's a gentleman, Mr. No Name. He doesn't want to give his name because he says there are women that are looking for him. But he says he's never been wrong. I mean, is this Mr. Perfect, or you think the problem could have been him? I mean, it's never one-sided. What do you think? Or is he just being rather arrogant?
Maybe he's always wrong. You know what, Mr. No Name, I believe in your heart you know that's not true. There's no way anybody could be perfect like that where you're never wrong. And maybe that might be the problem, you know, because he believes he's never wrong. That creates a problem in the marriage period, you know, because then that means he's always getting on his wife's case because she gets irritated and build up a resentment for him, because that means he is constantly putting her down since he's never wrong, because now he's feeling that she's always wrong. So after a while, you know, if she stays there, she's going to totally lose herself. So after a while, she just has to come out of this, because then her self-esteem is beginning to be affected. Talking to him, she's feeling like a little child because he's never wrong, and more than likely he's always correcting her because then she's always wrong since he's never wrong. So I believe that before he gets married again, this is just my opinion, he needs to go through some serious counseling. He needs to kind of find himself, because obviously he has lost himself someplace along the way as he was growing up, okay? So, Mr. No Name, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but I believe that I would really like your fourth or your fifth marriage to work, and the only way I see that happening is that you get some serious counseling and kind of find out where it is that you're going wrong.
Okay, Rosa, again, that was we're going to give Mr. Nolan, we're going to give you time to think about it before you respond to Rose's thoughts on getting some help out there. Let me go to, that was a mouthful, Rose. Let me go now to 770-866. We're going to go to 770-866. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Audrey. I just heard Mr. No Name, and I definitely agree with Rose that you really need to spend some time in between relationships alone, really getting to know you, and maybe talk to your previous spouses, if you're okay, to find out, is there anything you could have improved on?
Okay, I think now we're going to bring, thank you, Audrey, for that. We're going to go ahead and bring in Mr. No Name. We got about 2 minutes. We're going to ask Mr. No Name in your rebuttal. We're not asking for any profanity over the air, so we're going to ask you to be gentle. If you would, go ahead. What are your thoughts on Rose's comments and Audrey's comments?
I on both of them, see, they're both women. That's the problem with women. They always want to change a man. That's why a man can't get along with these women these days.
Wow. And when you say they want to change them, I mean, both of them have agreed that you should probably get some serious counseling. How do you feel about that? Did you ever go to counseling before, Mr. No Name?
I am a counselor.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to take another comment. The producers, stand by, Mr. No Name, and please join us for part two of this show, but please stand by. We got to take another comment because they're saying that my job depends on that. All right, we're going to take another one. Here we go. This male writes in. He says, divorce is something that I would not wish on my worst enemy. I do think divorce can be a good teacher because sometimes you start to see the things you did wrong when you were married and you hope to fix them in your next relationship. It took two marriages for me to finally see that I was a great deal of the problem. I didn't see it or realize it at the time, but both of my past wives told me the same thing, that I was very controlling, and now I realize that they were obviously right. I have concluded that we don't always how we are, and when others are telling us, we should listen. Let me go and give that one, Mr. No Name. I think they're telling me to bring that one to you. What do you think about this guy? He says, like Audrey said, he talked to his two wives, and he really listened to what they were saying, and he said they were obviously right. What do you think, Mr. No Name, quickly?
Oh, that question was for me?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was my fiance was talking to me, and I was just trying to ignore her and trying to listen to you, but I couldn't. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
All right.
I told you.
Okay.
These women, they talk so much, and they get on your nerves. You just can't. A man can't be a man because of women. You know, if it wasn't for Eve, we would be in a perfect world. I mean,
ooh,
women are just
boy, you're on fire tonight.
Yes, he is. Well, Mr. No Name, let me ask you, if you're still there, if your fiancé hasn't strangled you yet, let me ask you this question. Why would you do it a fourth or fifth time if women kind of, sounds like you're still bitter, why would you do it a fourth or fifth time?
Why not? It was fun the first two and three times. So, I mean, what's wrong with fourth?
Okay.
And it might be a fifth time. So I'm not going to stop at the fourth or fifth. One of them will break.
Okay.
Hey, if you
right,
succeed,
like
try again.
That's right. Sounds like he's trying to compete with Elizabeth Taylor. Let me go to Patricia real quick and get a final thought here. Patricia, any advice for Mr. No Name here? I mean, just quickly. You don't have
be
a
nice
comment for him. Okay. All right. She's probably thinking some words that she can't use over the air. But listen,
we're nice. Out
of time. Tell me that we are clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my callers this evening for joining in with us this evening. Those of you that have even been new to the program, thank you all so very much. We're out of time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program, which airs from 7 to 7:30. And, of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, please join us. My co-host will be back with us on next week, Ms. Blake. She'll be joining us then. Bypass this Friday. Join us again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. We've got a great show planned for you next week that deals with denial. You don't want to miss this show. And, of course, we're going to do part two of this. The producers are giving me a flag now. Let me know we're going to do part two of this 1 week after next week's show. So 2 weeks from tonight, we will continue with part two of this. Thank you all so very much. And I say to all my listening audience around the world, thank you all so very much. Good night. A pleasant good night. God bless. And, of course, thank you, God.